Hiberno Goethe, German-Irish Conversations. Join me, St. Pauli fan and former Dusseldorfer, Ciarán Murray, in conversation with my guests as we explore the connecting moments of German and Irish life. We delve into the many aspects of arts, language and life across cultures. What do musicians, dancers, artists and writers pick up from both cultures? And how are they inspired and enriched by the other? Hiberno Goethe, German-Irish Conversations is for all listeners who like to go and think beyond borders. This podcast is supported by the Goethe Institute Dublin. Willkommen, Falter Road, and welcome to the introductory episode. During the series, I'll be chatting to a range of guests, Irish people with an interest in German culture and Germans with an interest in Irish culture, and a broad mix of both. I'll be talking about how they work across the two cultures and maybe figuring out what inspires them. I'm joined today by Oya Demirci, who is head librarian at the Goethe Institute in Dublin. Oya, very welcome. And I want to start by asking you, how is it that you came to live in Dublin?
That's a very good question. I just decided to come here and live here because I guess literature was the magnet for me. Yeah, the idea that there is a writer's museum in Dublin and lots of cultural events around the book and the literature kept alive was something that appealed.
And did you have a selection of favorite Irish writers then?
Oscar Wilde is the one that comes to my mind right away because of his wit. And I discovered more writers of today as well here. So, yeah, Oscar Wilde maybe. Yeah.
And do you think when you came, did you try to go and see where Oscar Wilde was born or where he lived? Was that part of your journey?
Yeah, I came across, of course, across the statue, which is quite impressive. And his house, which is opposite the statue. But there's also, of course, more to the whole city linked to literature, like Bloomsday, that you can live and where you experience the city and literature in the same way.
And I suppose, had you got a sense of what Dublin or Ireland would be like, and is it how you imagined it would be?
No, I didn't have a real picture in mind. So I discovered a lot of things, and I actually found more than I expected, perhaps. For example, Sweeney's in Lincoln Place, where you go and just read Joyce's works, which I found great. It's really a magical place.
So how did you choose what passage of Joyce's work to read then?
I didn't really choose. You go there, for example, and you just happen to be part of the reading, which is done in a group.
Okay. So they give you a piece to read that you haven't prepared?
Exactly.
Okay.
It's great.
Is that a bit daunting?
It is at the beginning when you think about it, but the experience is something I can recommend, absolutely.
And maybe to go a bit further back, I mean, was there a particular point that started your interest in Irish things, Irish culture, when you were at school? Did you do any Irish books, or was it... Were you aware of Ireland at school?
I was aware of the country because of my English lessons at school, of course. We learned about the Troubles, for example. But that was not something that made me come here, to be honest. That was much later when I decided.
When the Troubles came up in your English lessons at school, how was it portrayed? Did you think it was a place that you wouldn't like to visit?
I didn't really think much of the place, I think I got an idea of what it means to be in trouble with people that are near to you, so that you disagree with. And yeah, it was not really something I would like to experience, I suppose.
Was there any sense that because of your own Turkish background, was there any sense that seeing Ireland as something of an outside place formerly under British rule, that there was a kind of a cross similarity between growing up of Turkish parents in Germany?
Well, not in a political sense, I suppose, but of course, being Turkish, of Turkish origin, and growing up in Germany means that you have two cultures, two languages, which don't really have anything to do with each other. So you live kind of two lives in a way, and there are some bridges that are broadened today, perhaps, but with not that much of a link when I was younger.
And were there many parts of that kind of... was there a sense that maybe you might have looked more to Turkish literature and going to live in Istanbul than going to live in Dublin and follow Joyce?
No, the idea of living in Istanbul was not really linked to literature, perhaps. That was more of the whole country and culture, where I wanted to find out if that was really something I have as part of my identity. But thinking of literature in those different cultures, I come to think of it as some sort of home, perhaps. Because, I tend to think that I have either two or three homes or none. But literature is something that you can carry around with you, and that gives you a sense of being connected to people, and to actually also people from different times.
Is there much of Turkish culture that has seeped into modern German culture? Would people say merhaba? That's the greeting, isn't it?
Yeah, merhaba. Yeah. And I have seen that in recent years, many young German people would pick up words like that because they learn them from their peers.
Yeah.
And so they know much more about the Turkish language now than they used to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And food, of course. They know about some Turkish food.
What would your favorite Turkish food be?
Mine? Oh, that's the stuffed wine leaves.
Okay.
I love them.
Yeah, yeah. Is it too much of a cliche to assume that kebabs are Turkish?
No, it's not a cliche. You find them everywhere, absolutely. But of course, it's not the only Turkish food that you should know about.
How long have you lived in Dublin now?
It's been 4 years now.
Okay. What would you say? What do you miss about Germany?
Schwarzbrot. Again, food.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I left Germany in 1999 and went to Istanbul. I went back to live in Berlin for a year in between, but basically the last 2 decades I didn't really live in Germany. So I visit Germany every year, of course, and I miss my friends there. I try to meet them as often as possible.
You haven't mentioned the weather. It's such a common thing that people mention about living here.
Right. Well, I had lots of rain in Cologne, where I grew up, so I don't miss that when I'm here, of course. But I must say, in Ireland, I found more sun than I expected.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose people often think of German winters maybe as the Alps, or perhaps much further east, but probably on the Rhine, it's not as severe, the winters.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's humid and...
And Schwarzbrot is black bread, for anyone who didn't get that reference. Yeah. Did you find when you came here that the food choices were not as broad as they were before you came here?
Yes, to be honest, the food choices I found here was, the range is not as broad as, let's say, even in Germany.
Yeah.
But I like Irish stew.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
There you go. That's another cliche.
But I love it.
I'm not even sure if I can make it. I'm not even sure if I have it very often, actually. Do you know the way you're talking about the kind of a German or Turkish culture or something? Do you think that in some ways a city is much more dominant than a nation in terms of where you're from? Would you feel that you're more from Cologne in terms of that Turkish German world? Was Cologne something that shaped you?
Absolutely, yeah. I would say that. Yeah, I'm from Cologne. I mean, of course, I say I'm from Germany when I meet people, but the sense of belonging, perhaps, is more the Cologne connection.
And it's probably not a city that Irish people visit very often. I mean, I imagine people go to Berlin and Munich and Hamburg, but Cologne probably isn't that high on the list. Would you? How would you recommend it if you were telling people to go?
Oh, I would recommend it as a very lively city and multicultural. It's a former Roman city. And those who know Cologne, the Irish people who I speak to, and there are a few, not as many as those who know Berlin, obviously, but they always say, well, the cathedral is very impressive. For example, and it's true, it's very dominant in the city, but you can discover lots of niche cultural events in Cologne, and of course the people in the pubs there, Kneipe, they're very relaxed and they like chatting, as Irish people do.
I'd probably have to add that as an ex-Düsseldorfer, Cologne probably makes a nice day trip from Düsseldorf if you're visiting the Rhineland.
Of course, yes. Well, you don't expect me to comment on that now.
With the idea of a kind of a podcast series on that kind of crossover in German Irish culture, how did you come up with that idea, or what were you thinking?
I guess the cross-cultural conversation is just a natural part of me, so it's not really surprising. But of course, there was the planning and organizing and really getting into the structuring of this project. And at the Goethe Institute, we work with lots of artists, musicians, writers, people who are making films, dancers, etc. It's natural that there are these connections, and my colleagues from the cultural program department are organizing lots of events. So I thought, well, that's a great place to begin a conversation and see what people from Ireland and from Germany pick up from the other culture and how they integrate that into their art. And so I'm very curious to see what all the artists talk about when they talk about their art and the two cultures. Are they mixed or?
I think it's a really interesting idea, because in a way, when you think of that cross-cultural Irish thing with other countries, obviously you have places like Britain and like the United States and those kind of British colonial places, and then you have those historic places like I suppose France and Spain, where a lot of the Irish went historically. But I couldn't immediately think of anything, and then I came across the St. Kilian.
Right.
Went to Würzburg, I think, to Christianize the Germans during the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that was an advantage or not.
Well, it's the way it is.
But I don't think he was followed by lots and lots of Irish people, that they haven't necessarily gone to live there. But seeing as you're from Cologne, isn't Heinrich Böll from Cologne?
Exactly, yeah. And he was inspired by...
By
Ireland.
And when he came here after the Second World War, as a former soldier, and wrote his Irish Journal, the Irish's Tagus book. Was that something that you read, or you came across people who had read that?
Of course, yeah. I read the book, and I was fascinated by his descriptions. He's a very good writer, obviously. But it's not only the style and the way he used to convey all his experience. It's something that you can sense behind the words. And Achill Island was, of course, something on my mind. And when I went there twice. I have to go there more often. But that's something that you just have to experience. It's inspiring,
I would say. I got to stay in the Heinrich Böll cottage on Achill Island, but only because my wife is an artist and I went along as a guest.
You are lucky. But lots of German people were inspired by Heinrich Böll's journal, and many of them visit Achill Island as well as other parts of Ireland.
And would you find then that kind of the far west of Ireland, as opposed to Dublin, was that kind of very different from the Rhineland?
It is, yeah. It's wild, to use another cliche.
Yeah. When you, I suppose when you came here, were you aware of things like kind of Irish dancing and Irish music, and how much of that have you experienced?
I was aware of it, of course, because, you know, all the connection to music that Irish people have. And you have the traditional music, of course. Actually, I only learned recently from a friend in Cologne that Irish traditional music is used in carnival songs. So when you're in Cologne and you hear carnival songs, they might sound familiar.
Okay.
And the experience I had here was, yeah, in pubs and also on the street, you come across music in a very natural way, and that's really enriching.
And have you learned an Irish song?
No, that's on my bucket list.
Oh, I was kind of hoping you'd say yes so I could get you to sing it.
No chance. You wouldn't want that.
What about Irish dancing? You haven't been tempted to try some dancing?
I have been tempted, and I still have to go and learn it properly. A friend of mine just showed me one or two steps, and it's great fun. So okay. I have to do that.
Yeah. I could ask you to stand up in the studio, and so you can show us your dancing. But it's probably not much use to the listener. But of course, you are a dancer.
Well, a hobby dancer, not a professional one. Yeah.
Yeah, but tango.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's kind of a jump from German Turkish culture with a deep interest in Irish literature and tango. How did you decide? How did that happen?
That was a natural thing, I guess. But it's interesting you say that, because in Turkey, lots of people are really drawn to Latin music.
Okay.
And there's also Turkish tango from the 50s and 60s. So it's not that far, although it's far geographically, of course. Yeah.
Do you think things like tango dancing, is that a kind of international thing? So it doesn't really matter where you are, you can do that and you can meet people.
Today it definitely is. It pops up everywhere in the world. I guess for the last 10 or maybe 15 years, it's become very, very popular. And it's another kind of home, if you like, because as you say, you can go anywhere and find a community of tango dancers. And of course, that's the language that everybody can speak without words.
So have you found that you have a broad range of friends from South America by living in Dublin?
Maybe, you know, via other people who went there. So I find that, Latin America is more accessible now, although I have never been there.
Yeah. I was in a shop the other day, and I went over to buy something, and the man behind the counter said, "Bon dia." And I said, "Well, do you think I'm Brazilian?" And he said, "Oh, no." He said, "I just say it to everyone when they come in."
Oh, that's nice.
It's interesting, yeah, isn't it? To suddenly to say bon
that's,
dia.
That's how cultures work.
Yeah.
Inspire you. Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
When it comes to other, that kind of inspirational part and stuff, did you think hard about choosing who the guest would be and who would be good to talk about kind of inspiration from Ireland and from German culture?
Yeah, I think it, well, the question, is it hard? I don't know. But the artists who my colleagues from the cultural program department mentioned sounded all very interesting to me. So I haven't met them.
Yeah.
But I'm very curious to hear what they can say about their experience of Germany, for example, and working with Germans and doing projects in Germany. Yeah, I'm very curious.
I think in many ways, Germany is still quite an exotic location for Irish people to go on holiday. Did you find that Irish people know a lot about Germany, or do they know much about German culture?
Well, those I met, some of them, I was surprised that they know a lot because they have friends from Germany. They probably have met them here in Ireland and visited them. So there is an interesting kind of connection, and the things they know might not necessarily be the general things that you would know about Germany if you study, let's say, German or history or whatever. So on a very human level, they connected, apparently.
Did they say that currywurst was the favorite German food?
Of course.
Just bring me back to being a librarian in the Goethe Institute. Is that a really amazing job that you get to choose? You get to choose books. Is your job just about sitting in the wonderful library and looking out the window at Merrion Square and reading all day?
Yeah, in my dreams. Well, it is a great job, but yeah. Unfortunately not in the sense that you were describing it. I would love to do that. But I still love my job because I can do everything around the book. I get to talk to writers. I can organize book clubs. So actually, I have the opportunity to create a platform where you talk about books, where people who are interested in the other culture, let's say Germany or Ireland, just connect and, yeah, discuss what they see. And that can be very surprising and very interesting.
And are there many writers that you've come across who either are German writers who have come to live here and write, or are Irish people who have spent a long time in Germany and write?
There are some, not too many perhaps, but the interesting group around this whole work on literature are the translators, for example. There are Irish translators who spend time in Germany or who live there, and the other way around.
Yeah, I suppose they often get forgotten.
That
it takes so much, and when you read a book in translation, and you go, I don't know why they're saying it's so good. It didn't seem good to me. But you just have that translation to go on.
Yes, and it's a great work when you think about it. As you say, they should be mentioned more often.
Yeah, yeah. What are you reading at the moment?
Nothing Irish, I'm afraid. Patti Smith.
Oh, the.
The Year of the Monkey.
Yeah, yeah.
And but my next book on the list would be the one by Anne Enright.
The most recent one?
No, the Green Road.
Yeah, some of those family stories. Yes, they're very dark things too.
Yeah, so I'm waiting for more light to begin with that.
Yeah. Maybe to come to bring it to an end slowly, Do you feel that after your time here and after your experience here that you've become a little bit Irish, or how do you feel that Ireland has impacted on you?
Using some words and expressions have become very natural with me. I just recently noticed, so grand is something that I tend to use more often, I must say. Yeah. So maybe I am a little bit more Irish now.
Okay, so we'll leave it there. Thanks very much, Áoya.
Well, thank you for having me.
It was great to talk to you. And on the next program, the first official program, as this is the introductory one, we'll have Sharon Carty, the mezzo-soprano. But until then, vielen Dank, auf Wiedersehen, agus slán liv galair.